Good morning.
Good morning.
Get your Bibles this morning. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. What if I told you today, seated among us, was a man who wanted nothing more than to take your life because of your faith in Christ? What if he was sitting right next to you, staring at you with an intense hatred as you sing songs of praise to Jesus Christ? What would you think? What would be your reaction if he believed with all his heart that by persecuting you and others like you, he is fulfilling God's will for his life? What would you think about that? What would you think about someone like those people in the Middle East that have services where somebody could come in and sit right next to them with so much hatred in their life they wanted to kill them? What would you feel like? Well, by traveling back in time, we can find our answers not only to how God would treat a man like the one described, but how he treats each one of us. Saul of Tarsus, later known as Paul the Apostle, was a man that received and accepted the call of God's grace, even though he was a persecutor of God's own children. As we continue in our series this morning, Growing in Grace, last week we talked about grounded in grace. This week we're going to be talking about the calling of grace, because we can learn a lot about God's calling of grace in our own lives through the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 1, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 11 through 24. The Bible says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited it in the Jewish religion above my equal in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Sicily, and was unknown by the face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorify God in me." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul, who give us these words this morning that we may teach them to this congregation here at Ephesus. We pray, Father, that you would bless this message, bless the speaker, bless the hearer, that have ears to hear this morning, and help us to learn from your word this morning how that the Apostle Paul, after being called by your precious grace, that he no longer was a persecutor of the church, but one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the saving power of your blood. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
There are three specific areas where God worked in the Apostle Paul's life and where he will also work in our lives today if we'll let him. God cannot work in a non-believer. Amen. And God cannot work in a Christian that does not allow him to work. You may say God can do anything and nothing is impossible for God. And that is true. But God will not go against your will. God will not go against when you refuse to let God work in your life, he will not work. Amen. God has to have a receptive vessel in order to work in your life. And that reception has to be a willingness to let God work in your life, change your life, and mold you and make you into the person he wants you to be. Amen. God can do all things, but God will not work against your will. He will allow you to do what you want to do. He will not work against you if you do not want to do it. Now, many times, God will allow you to go somewhere or do something that is your will, and he will ultimately bring you back to do his will in your life. But God will not force you to do his will in his purpose in your life. So, what are things can we learn? Well, number one, God shows me his will. While it is good to be seeking after God, God is also is seeking after us, and he desires to reveal himself in several ways. These ways are the way God reveals us. Number one, in his mercy. God reveals himself to us in his mercy. In Reader's Digest, James William of Butte, Montana writes this, "I was driving too fast late one night when I saw the flashing lights of a police car in my rearview mirror. As I pulled over and rolled down the window of my station wagon, I tried to dream up an excuse for my haste in driving my car so fast. But when the patrolman reached the car, he said nothing. Instead, he merely shined his flashlight in my face, then on my seven-month-old pregnant wife sitting next to me. Then, on our snoozing 18-month-old in his car seat, then on our 3-year-old child sitting in the back seat who was also asleep, and lastly on the 2 dogs in the very back of the car. Returning the beam of light to my face, he then uttered the only words of the encounter. He said this, 'Son,' he said, 'you can't afford a ticket, so slow it down.'" You can't afford a ticket, so slow it down. This man that was speeding down the road, this grace of this patrolman realized that this man had so much in his life. He had so many things going in his life. He had such a big family. He had such a big thing that he had to take care of. He said, "Son, just go on. Just slow it down. Don't worry about it. Just slow it down." That, my friend, is the picture of grace. That's a great example of the mercy, but the mercy of God wants to show us is much, much greater. Let's consider this man who is known as the Apostle Paul before God got a hold of him. He was raised to be a religious leader among the Jewish people. He had been thoroughly trained in the Old Testament scriptures and was a biblical and theological scholar by any person's estimation. Saul believed that Christianity was against God's will, and so he went out of his way to destroy it. We don't understand the change that was in the Apostle Paul. He was a man that was dead set on killing Christians. He was a man dead set on destroying the church of God. He was dead set on doing anything he could to stop Christianity from getting a hold in that society. He was a religious zealot. Saul was religious, but he was lost. He was zealous, but for the wrong cause. He thought he was acting in God's will, but he was actually opposing it. So what did God do? Did God strike him down? Did God say, I'm going to kill you? Did God say, I don't need you in this world? You're of no use to me? No. God looked at Saul and said, this is a man who needs to understand my grace. He said, this is a man that needs the grace of God in his life more than anybody on the planet. Saul was a lost man, but God saw his need for grace. God saw his need for grace and he gave him that grace. This is a man that needs to forgive him, God said. This is a man that needs to see me for who I really am. God finds pleasure in displaying his grace in the lives of those who oppose him. He enjoys giving us not what we deserve, but what we so desperately need. Do you realize if you got what you truly deserved, you would all go to hell? We would all be destined to a devil's hell if we got what we deserved. But we don't get what we deserve. We get what God knows we desperately need.
Amen.
His grace. God applies his grace to our life. He gives us an opportunity, like he did the Apostle Paul, to change our life, to mold us and make us into who God wants us to be. We, like Paul, were once all opposed God and were going our own way and doing our own thing and living a life that was not pleasing to God. We, like Paul, were once opposing God. But when God's grace came into our life, God's grace came and changed us and molded us and made us into a Christian. He changed us from a heart that was against him to a heart that loved him. He changed us from a will that was going our own way to a will that was following his will. He changed us from our desires to his desires. He changed us from wanting to do our own thing to doing God's thing. Right. That is what the amazing grace of God can do. God finds pleasure in displaying his grace in the lives of those that oppose him. God wants to show his mercy today, no matter where you've been or what you've done. His greatest desire is to see you receive his grace in your life. Secondly, he desires to reveal himself in his cure. The cure for the problem for you and me is found in the cross of Christ. Yes. We can only find that cure for the sin of our life, for the sin disease that has engulfed us, by the cross of Christ, by the blood of Christ, by God's grace that is applied to each and every one of us. We can only find that healing that God brings into our life, that spiritual healing, and that coming together of God's grace and our life. We can only find that in the cross of Christ. Listen, my friend, that is what God wants to do. He wants to take that cure and apply it to everyone. God clearly saw Saul, and he reveals to each of us that the way to receive the mercy he so desperately wants to give us is the road that leads to the crucifixion. A doctor can reveal to you the physical problem you're suffering from, and he can show you the medicines you need to take to be healed. But if you never go out to get the prescription filled and take that prescription, it won't help you at all. A doctor My brother's a doctor. My brother tries to heal me all the time, but I don't listen to my brother. My brother is so far from me, I wouldn't listen to anything he said. He told me I needed to get the COVID vaccine. He told me he got it. He told me all of his friends got it. He told me all of his people got it. But I don't have to have the vaccine, and I'll tell you why. Because COVID does not affect me. COVID has no hold on me. I'm one of the very blessed people in this land that COVID has no effect on me whatsoever. The only thing that happens to me when I get COVID, I lose my sense of taste of chocolate. That, my friend, is something I don't like because I love chocolate. But that's the only thing that happens to me when I get COVID. I don't need the vaccine because it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect me at all. So why do I need the vaccine? I don't. That cure is not a cure for me. It may be for you, and I'm not against you if you want to get the vaccine. I'm not against you if you want to get that vaccine. But I will never take that vaccine, and I'll tell you why. Because no one can tell me the long-term effects of that drug in this body that God said don't put anything in this body that will harm the Holy Spirit. I will not get that vaccine because I don't know what it's going to do to my body. I know what some of the results of that vaccine are. Some of the results of that vaccine have been the sterilization of women. Men, their sperm count diminished greatly where they can't have kids anymore. I know it's caused heart attacks. I know it's caused problems with blood pressure. I know it's caused a lot of problems in people's lives. Now, it doesn't cause it in everyone. You may have taken that vaccine and you may be fine. And more power to you if you've taken it. But I don't need it. I don't need it in my life. And I will not take it. I will not put anything in my body that is going to...
I want to say something, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
Bless you. Bless you. That's all I can say.
Well,
I'm going to pray for you.
Pray.
I hope the church prays for me and pray for you.
Amen. But brother, I'm not going to put anything in this body that I don't know how it's going to harm this body. I'm not going to put anything in this body that's going to harm this body. I'm not going to do it. So, let's go a little bit further. He desires to reveal himself in his resolve. In his resolve, God's desires was to heal his grace to Saul, to reveal that grace to Saul before he was ever born. He knew what he wanted Saul to do with his life. He resolved to keep coming after him until Saul was ready to listen. This doesn't mean that God made Saul make a decision. God didn't force him on any of us. God does not force himself on any of us today, just like he did not force himself on Saul. Nor does God make us act against our own will. The point is that God is completely focused on working in our lives, convicting us, exposing us to truth, until we're ready to listen and act upon what he has to say. God's resolve to reveal himself to you is just as great as it was to Paul. God wants to show you his grace today by calling you to receive his mercy. Secondly, what does God do? God changes us. God changes us. The old hymn says that if I come to God just as I am, and that is true, God will come into your life no matter how many sins you committed, no matter what you look like, no matter what you smell like, no matter what you've done in this life, God will accept you. You can come just as you are, but when God gets into your life, you're not going to be the same person anymore, because he is going to change you into something better than you've ever dreamed of. When God gets into your life and that transformation takes place. And God begins to change you and mold you and make you into what He wants you to be. Listen, my friend, God will change you if you allow Him to. He does change. How does God change you and I? He forgives us. When Paul writes about the good news, it's not just any good news. It's the good news of salvation that is especially referring to. When God reveals Himself to Paul, what did he do? He immediately went to tell the Gentiles the good news of the gospel. He immediately went to tell them all about Jesus. Let's say that I was trapped on a desert island with no hope in sight. After being there for years, suddenly a ship appears and delivers me from isolation. I might say to my rescuers, "You're not my salvation." They have delivered me from a hopeless situation and fulfilled my dream. The word salvation literally means deliverance. Specifically, deliverance from the sins that I have committed that have kept me in bondage. The salvation God offers to me is deliverance from the penalty, power, and the presence of sin. It is the deliverance from death and hell. When I accept Jesus as my Savior, God removes every sin from my life. God removes every burden from my life. God removes everything from my life. Listen, my friend, God completely takes every sin out of your life when you become a child of God. God does not leave any sin. He washes them all away. When I accept Jesus as my Savior, God starts to work in my life. No matter how serious my sins might be, God forgives me of them all. God changed Saul. How did He change Saul? By the same power, the same grace that He changes us. God changed Saul by the power of His grace in Saul's life. God changed Saul completely. He made him a new person. God changes you and I by instructing us. Saul was a very educated man, probably equal to a person with multiple PhDs. He was certainly not hurting in the knowledge area, especially when it came to religious knowledge. He knew the Old Testament scriptures forward and backward. Yet, he, like each of us, needs to be open to the instruction that comes from the Lord if we're going to begin the process of change. God wants to instruct us, not just by filling our heads with knowledge, but by filling our hearts with His grace. Paul had received lots of instruction through his religious training by sitting at the feet of Galileo, but now God has something more to teach him. God wanted to teach him about redemption. You can know all of the scriptures you want to know. You can study all of the things you want to study. But unless you have the knowledge that God gives you, you'll never be changed. Listen, my friend, God wants to change you. While Paul was a man that needed to be changed, Paul was a man. But what did he say? What did Paul say? "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul knew he didn't get the word of God by man. Paul knew he didn't get what he had in his heart by man. He got it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What was the message that he got? It was a message of the cross, the message of grace, the message of Jesus Christ's gift for all mankind. It is the same message that God wants to instruct each of us in today. You can know this Bible forward and backward, and that's great. But if you haven't yet enrolled in God's school of grace, it's time to get started today. While Paul was given a special revelation from God in this role as an apostle, God reveals Himself to us in much the same way. If you're ready to listen, God is ready to begin speaking to you. And when God begins instructing you, and when you absorb what He has to say in your heart, you will not remain the same person. You will definitely be changed. When you listen to God's instruction, when you listen to what God wants to tell you, Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why do we need to be renewed in our mind? Because that settles Satan's battlefield. That's where Satan will attack you. Satan cannot get in your heart because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. Satan attacks the mind. So we need to renew our mind. God is in the business of kicking the old man out the door and letting the new, improved man come inside. God will change the way you think, the way you act, the way you view the world, and He will allow His grace to transform you into a new person. God changes you and I also by strengthening us. God gives His strength to every Christian. God gives His power to every Christian. One of the biggest fears I had when I came to Christ concerned whether I could do it or not, whether I could hold out through all the troubles and trials of life. I'm the kind of person that doesn't want to start something unless I'm sure I've got what it takes to see it through. The good news about God's calling in our lives is that He gives us the strength to see it through on our behalf. When God turned Saul into Paul, He gave him the power, the boldness, and the spiritual gifts that were necessary for him to fulfill God's calling on his life. While he can derive spiritual strength from other believers, Paul didn't start there. God sent him to Arabia and to Damascus for a 3-year intensive devotional experience that would prepare him for his ministry. It was only after this that Paul visited with the apostle Peter and James. The point is that Paul derived the strength from his calling from the same God who called him in the first place. The same is true for you and I. God doesn't call us into service without providing us with the resources to get the job done. God never called a preacher that He did not equip him. God never called a singer that He did not equip them. God never called a teacher that He did not equip them to do the job. God will not call you to do something that He does not prepare you to do. David prayed this prayer, "For by thee I have run through the troop, and by God I have leaped over a wall." What was he saying? That while he cannot accomplish what God wants in my life in my own power, with God's strength, there's absolutely nothing that I cannot do. Listen, my friend. If God has called you by His grace and God has called you to do something, God will equip you to do that. Listen, my friend. Thirdly, God uses us. God uses us. God shows us His grace. He changes us in the person we need to be. But He doesn't stop there. He wants us to use us to our full potential. I don't know what you think about yourself as you sit here today. Maybe you think that there is much that you can do for the kingdom of God, but I'm here to tell you that God can use you to accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. No matter who you are, no matter what talents you might or might not have, no matter what background you're coming from, God takes this persecutor of Christians and uses him to be the most influential religious leader in the history of the world outside of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about the Apostle Paul when you think you're not equipped, when you think you can't do something. God took Paul a persecutor of the church, and changed him completely. And he was one of the most influential people in the New Testament. God used Paul to win thousands of people to Christ, and God used Paul to write over half the New Testament. Listen, my friend, God can use you if you allow him to. God can use you if you will surely let him work in your life. Surely, he can take each one of us and accomplish great things. God uses us to fulfill his purpose. First of all, God uses us to fulfill his purpose. Galatians 1:16 says this, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. 1 Timothy 1:16 says this, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for the pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. These are the two main purposes that God had for the Apostle Paul. To be an ambassador to the Gentiles and be a testimony of God's grace. God could look at Paul's life and see his potential for the kingdom of God. God is looking at you and me today, and he is aware of what we can accomplish to fulfill his purpose. You need to know that you matter to God and that he has created you for a purpose. God has created you for a unique purpose, that you have a destiny that needs to be fulfilled by allowing God to use you to build his kingdom. Listen. Secondly, God uses us to bring glory to his name. To bring glory to his name. Before Paul's new mission became known to other believers, they were afraid of him. They knew Saul, the persecutor. They hadn't yet met Paul, the apostle of Christ, the apostle of grace. This had to be a moving moment in Paul's life. He had been transformed from the religious zealot to a man who is now recognized as a tool of Almighty God. Think about that. Paul was a religious zealot, but he was not a religious zealot performing the will of God. You can be religious and be lost. You can be religious and not be serving God. This had to be a moving moment in the Apostle Paul's life. Notice that Paul didn't say, they praised me because of my powerful ministry. He said, they praised God because of me. That was his calling. That was his calling of grace. That's what the calling of grace is all about. It is about becoming the person God can use so that his name will be glorified. I want to be the kind of person, and I hope that you do too, where people will be able to look at our lives and praise God's name because we're willing to accept his calling. In conclusion, I begin by asking you, what if I told you today, seated among us, was a man who wanted nothing more than to take your life because of your faith in Christ? Now that you've looked at what God did through Paul, I hope that our reaction would be to see the potential of God's calling of grace in a man's life that he accomplished like the Apostle Paul. Because that is what God sees when he looks at each one of us. He is not looking at our faults and failures. He's looking at what we can become if we allow him to work in our lives and become the person he wants us to be. Listen, my friend, God's calling of grace has been applied to each of our lives. We need to be more about God's grace. We need to be about doing what God called us to do. We need to be more about doing what God has instilled in each of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and bring your word. We pray, Father, that you would bless this word in the lives of the people that are here. We pray, Father, that you would use this word to strengthen them and help them realize that they have a mighty purpose in this life to spread the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for each one that is here this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.